Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
By the way, you know who else loves Alina Habba? I can't have one conversation with this lady without Alina coming up. It's Siggy Flicker. My God, does she love her. And we love Siggy, too. Siggy was just on. When was Siggy on Friday? Talking about the importance of the relationship between the Jews and the Christians. She said, if me and Habba could be best friends, well, then there's hope in the world today.
Yeah, that was the 10th, so.
That was the 10th, yeah. She, Siggy Flicker loves you, Alina. My God, does
she? Yeah, I love her, too. She's like my sister.
I know, you guys are best buddies. Always a great picture by the pool at Mar-a-Lago. yeah.
That picture haunts me.
I know. I've seen it a million times. A great shot, though. You both look great. Let's get to this second day of court for Trump. And look, you had to deal with the judge. And let me do the bad talking because I know how lawyers are. You got to deal with these judges. But Engoron and Mershon, to me, are the same. They're both evil. They're both biased. They're both agenda-driven. They're both Democrat lovers. And quite frankly, they're both horrendous for the legal system. And they're doing our friend President Trump a huge injustice. And not just President Trump, but Americans everywhere. So you've dealt with a judge like this. This guy, Mershon, he's something else, Alina.
Yeah, he's the same judge that put Alan Weisselberg, the CEO of the Trump Organization, in jail not once but twice. Once for, I think, forgetting to put his company car on the taxes. And now he goes to jail in his 70s. I mean, it's a disgrace. He also is hearing Steve Bannon's trials. Let's be clear that this judge is no coincidence that we got this judge and that he clearly has a bias against Republicans in general.
He really does. In fact, I had a chance to speak to Barry, the Weisselberg's son, a couple of days ago, and he's destroyed. He's like, my dad's going to jail. He's 76 years old. And and you talked about it, how he's let other people go who have done a heck of a lot less. Let's get to the matter at hand. Yesterday, 500 potential jurors show up. I guess they let it. The numbers are wrong. You can correct me. They let about 100 in, and more than half of those go right home because, amazingly, when asked to be honest, they were honest and said, I can't really do this. I'm not a fan of President Trump. So the question keeps coming up. How is he possibly going to get a fair trial, which you know already, here in New York?
Yeah, I don't think you can. I would love to say that you could, but people are human beings. We're in a blue state. I think that they're bringing these cases intentionally in blue states. Look at Georgia. Look at Washington. And it's by design. D.A. Bragg is much like Letitia James. He is a career never Trumper. He brought other cases against the president. And the reality is this is an 8-year-old case that they're rushing to have heard before an election cycle because these DAs and AGs would like to make a name for themselves and use President Trump in order to do so and campaign off his back. And it's just un-American, really, Sid. I mean, you really can't do things like that. But the facts are clear. Look, Bragg has let off felony crime after felony crime and brought them down to misdemeanors. But in the case of Trump, he took a misdemeanor and raised it to a felony. That says it all.
It really does. And, you know, you brought up that it's going to be difficult to get a fair trial. So the question is very, very simple. I know that his lawyers, and he's in good shape here. He's got Suzanne, he's got Todd, he's got some other very good lawyers like you. But it has come up. Can he move the venue? Can he get this case out of New York? Every lawyer I talk to says highly unlikely, maybe impossible. What do you think? Any shot?
Not at this point.
No.
We did try to do that. We appealed, but no, at this point, the trial is underway. So we are pretty much stuck where we are.
We are stuck where we are.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel, and how you feel can impact your thoughts. Addressing your mind and body connection is the key to improving your overall wellness. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130. For an appointment or newbridgehealth.org.
Okay, so then you talk to people like you and other great attorneys, and they go, here's the deal. Okay, and I hate to put the cart before the horse, and I love President Trump like you do. I love him, but he's going to lose. He's going to get convicted. The question is, will it be probation? Will he have to do a week in jail because this judge hates him? He can get up to 4 years in jail. What really happens when and if the conviction comes down? What does your gut tell you?
If the conviction comes down, and based on the facts that I know that obviously I can't discuss, it shouldn't, because the man was in Washington, let's remember, during this time. He was not even in charge of the Trump Organization, let alone some accounting person that books in QuickBooks or whatever the payment that was made. And by the way, doesn't do so incorrectly. But somehow the president of the United States is being held on the hook for that, which is it's crazy. But look, let's say worst case that a conviction comes out of this. The jury doesn't get it. You know, it's the discretion is really with the judge. And that's what makes me concerned. The good news is the president is under the protection of Secret Service. That doesn't change. So hopefully, you know, they would step in and they would have some say in it. I think it would be truly damaging for our country to see a former president, any president, Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter, be treated this way and be put in prison. I mean, that would just be the most disturbing sight for all of us, because that's what they do in communist countries. They put your opponent, your political opponent, they jail them, they kill them.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that that does not obviously happen. And if the facts are heard by the jury, it won't.
Alan Dershowitz told me on this show yesterday, I know you love Alan too, he says that he thinks the president can get a win here because he sees maybe not a likelihood, but certainly a potential for a hung jury. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, you just need one. And I do think that, you know, people will see this as a sham. I think that we have great lawyers, as you said, on the team. But the question is really, what does the judge let them hear? And that's a point that I have to make, because I've had jury trials with the president. And if the judge doesn't allow evidence in that helps my case, then they never hear it. So you can't win. So the judge has, you know, the strings for the puppeteering. And if he doesn't allow you to see everything, there's, you know, we're not magicians, we're lawyers. So, you know, that happened with me with Judge Kaplan. So eventually, of course, you deal with that on appeal. But here we're dealing with a candidate that's being held in court for 6 weeks. He can't go out there. He can't be doing what he needs to do. And basically, they're immobilizing him so that Biden can try and have a stab at winning, because otherwise he couldn't.
And there are two personal things coming up that the president talked about yesterday. One really broke my heart, and that is his son's Barron High School graduation coming up in May. And the other is next Thursday, the 25th, Alina, as you know, in Georgia, the Supreme Court hearing on the immunity case. And he's already been told by this scumbag judge, that he can't go to, he can't go to either one of these things. I mean, if you can't tell this is personal, what else do you need to hear?
Yeah, and you know, there's this immunity case is such an important case in the Supreme Court. It's not just about President Trump. It's about every president, and it's about their ability to do their job without fear of retribution when they come out and being criminally and civilly sued. It's an important thing for the executive branch, and the judge will not allow him something that, you know, frankly, is the highest court in the country. It's really, he has no business saying that. The other issue is Passover. You know, he's not allowing observing Passover, which is disgusting to me, because God is first. I don't care who your God is or what you pray to, but to say that the trial must continue and people cannot observe a holy holiday is equally disturbing. I think these things all show the motivation, which is to rush a trial, have it heard quickly so that they can try and affect 2024 election.
When you say Passover, I think my audience, big and smart, by the way, they're going to assume that the president spends time with Jared and Ivanka, who are very observant, I guess, Orthodox Jewish people. His grandchildren are Jewish. He's been to shul, President Trump. There's no question about how much he loves Israel and the Jews. Is it fair to assume that during Passover he would be with Ivanka and Jared?
You know what? It goes beyond that. It's not even about just the president. It's about the jurors. It's about the attorneys, the staff. So imagine you're a juror and you're Jewish and you're observant. And
right.
you get told right. that if you serve on this panel, you will not leave for Passover.
Got it.
Well, then you lose Jews that are observant as an option for a jury pool. So it's very concerning. It applies to the entire court. And, you know, this is only a decision made by the judge. And the decisions are making it incredibly difficult to get a fair shake.
I want to ask you about your case, too. Last we heard, of course, there was a $450 billion-dollar judgment.
I wish.
I wish, too. Thank God the Supreme Court had it down to 175, which is a testament to your work, too. By the way, great job, Alina. He has already posted that. So where are we exactly in that case?
Yeah, the appellate division saw through the BS effectively and said, look, this is egregious. You can't go take Trump Tower because if he wins on appeal, he can never get it back. And they were trying and gloating and trying to have a fire sale in order to get the almost $1 billion when it came with the extra 10% in interest. The appellate division shut that down. That was great. And, of course, Ms. James is challenging the bond, which was secured by cash. So I'm not even sure where her grounds are on that one. But she's, you know, she's constantly rearing her head. She's constantly trying to be relevant. She's somebody who's obviously taking a loss a little bit difficult. And, you know, she was taunting. She was on Twitter posting the interest every single day. And then all of a sudden it got slashed. And she's clearly got an ego and the ego's taken a hit. And we're waiting on the appellate, the judge currently to look at the bond. But quite honestly, it's not even about the bond. The bond is secured by full cash. President Trump put up cash. So I don't know what her newest angle is, but it's pathetic and far reaching and just wasting judicial resources in a city that really should be taken care of.
So one more on the this hush money trial, this ridiculous trial. And again, great job on that one, Alina. The jurors, I don't know this. This is out of ignorance. I know Tom Kniff is listening right now. Daniel Penny's attorney is going to make fun of me. But is there a time limit as to how many days, weeks, maybe a month the court has to put this jury together? I mean, is there a possibility that this thing can go on for an endless period of time because so many New Yorkers hate our good friend?
Yeah. I mean, no, I don't think so. They have time. They're already slated and imagining that this will go for 2 weeks. So of the 6 weeks, really, it's 2 weeks. It's just for picking a jury. Jury selection is the most critical for an attorney that's trying a case. The problem is here, the judge has already limited some of the questions. The trial team for my side can't ask the jurors who they voted for. They can't ask the jurors if they're Republicans, if they're registered to vote, and how they're registered to vote. When you're sitting with a criminal case with the nominee for the GOP, that's the single most important thing you could ask, and the judge would not allow it. So that's troubling in itself. So, you know, it will take time now because those direct questions could help immediately and make things move more judiciously. But instead, we have these sideways rulings that we have to deal with. And we're going to have to figure out, you know, if people have clear biases, make sure there's no never Trumpers on there, make sure that we have a fair jury, people that are somewhere in the middle of the road, if not on the right. And it's going to be tough with the rulings that this judge has given us. We're not, you know, our hands are tied. So they think they're being smart, but what they're doing is they're wasting resources. You know, just yesterday, the jury pool waited hours and hours and hours while they talked about evidentiary rules. The pool should not have even been pulled at that point because people have lives. And, you know, I think that sometimes judges can be inconsiderate of that, and it frustrates jurors, and it can make them rush decisions. It can make them not pay attention, want to go home. You know, I think there've already been some big errors in terms of how you treat a jury pool by the judge in this case.
That is a heck of a job, Alina Haba. You are a great attorney. You're a great radio guest and a great friend. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Alina.
All right. We'll see you soon. I'll see you next Friday. Thank you very much.
Oh, good.
All right. Congratulations. There she is, the great Alina Haba. Now, that is a great interview right there. She really broke that stuff down, even for morons like me and Justin. So we understood it. Excellent job, Alina Haba. Thank you for that.